Haven't heard it.
Started the recording.
Nope.
Hello!
We're not broadcasting yet. Okay, now I'm starting the broadcast.
Hello, you crazy ass crackers!
Yeah. Hello, my niggas.
Yep, that's right.
I get to say that now. I'm going to say it all the friggin' time.
Look, Frida, I know
you're good evening, niggas. How are you tonight?
And by the way, when Brita says that, she doesn't mean black people. She just means people that wear tight pants.
No, it's any
No, as defined by Rachel Jontel this week on the Piers Morgan show, nigga means any male.
That's right.
It could be of any race. Nigga means a male. So, my niggas, how are you this evening? Did you have a good week? I'm totally going to work it into everything.
I had a great week, but Brita, as much pressure as you get, you give me, I am not going to say nigga on the air.
You just did.
I'm just not going to do it. No, Brita, I'm not going to say nigga. You can't get me. You can't pressure me into doing it. I'm not going to say it. I'm not comfortable with saying it.
But you said it like four times already.
Brita, what did you think I said?
Nigga.
I did not say nigga.
I sound so white when I say that. I'm
you
sorry.
Do. Well, you sound like You sound exactly like what's her name in My Fair Lady pronouncing the words extremely correctly.
The rain in Spain falls mainly on my nigga.
There you go.
All right, someone needs to make that into a ringtone.
Rita, Alan just accused you of being British.
It's all right.
Oh, Lordy.
I'm sorry.
No,
I've had a lot
of it. That's what it is. Zimmerman was the ninja, and Trayvon was the nigga. So we had niggas and ninjas.
I don't even know anymore.
All you needed was a pirate, and you'd have been set.
I don't know the rules anymore. Everything's changed this week. What the fuck? Yep. Crack means something entirely new that I wasn't aware of. Nigga means something. I don't know.
That's right. Cracka doesn't mean what you think it means. Cracka means, what is it, somebody who wants to be a cop?
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
That's a cracka.
We'll get into Rachel Jontel.
We need to get into that. But first, I think Alan needs to play some music.
Oh, we're not even there yet.
What?
All right. Do you know what I really want to see? I want to see Rachel Jontel and Joe Biden debate anything just for the sheer giggle factor.
Actually, you know what's really funny is I forget who it was because I didn't recognize them and I've never heard of them before. But supposedly I think it was an NPR host or somebody like that, offered her a full scholarship to whatever college she wants to go to. And that's what I want to see, is I want to see her go to college.
No, it wasn't any college. It was a black college.
Oh, yeah, black college.
Well, of course it would be.
Because that's not racist at all. But I would love to see, because I got to say, if there's someone who looks like somebody who gives their all and applies themselves, it's Rachel Jontel.
What do you think her major would be?
Smoking weed?
Smoking weed and getting her nails done, apparently. You know, it really amused me. She tweeted a picture of her court nails. I was like, I thought that was kind of sweet.
I like how she deleted all of her tweets that involved her talking about getting all smoked up at parties. And then
smoked up and drunk, yeah.
And then told Piers Morgan that she doesn't smoke weed. It's not her thing.
Did she say that? That's hilarious.
She sure did.
She's one of those people that reality is whatever she thinks it is at the moment.
Well, I mean, that's the interesting thing to get in with Rachel Jontel is that, you know, she said so. I could definitely say that there's a lot of things that she said that really can, if they were true, really say a lot about the situation. The only problem is there's a lot of things that she said that are verifiably untrue. And a lot of things that she said that are highly unlikely, and so therefore, more than likely, everything she said was a fucking lie, and she probably wasn't even on the phone with him.
Well, you don't know. I mean, that's the problem.
Well, I think according to phone records, she was on the phone with him. You know, that's how they kind of got her. that they knew she was on the phone with him at the time.
Okay, well, so that is the verifiable fact.
That is fact.
I like.
However, I think everything else is fiction.
Yeah, and I especially like the latest development where she's decided that Trayvon hit Zimmerman first, but only because Trayvon was afraid that Zimmerman was gay and going to hit on him.
So where's the hate crime here? So okay, Trayvon was under the assumption that George Zimmerman was gay and was going to rape him, was a gay rapist, I think, was the term.
Yes.
So then assuming that George Zimmerman was a gay rapist, he then turned around and jumped George Zimmerman and beat the crap out of him, you know, defending his manhood, of course. So the hate crime would be...
Yep.
Well, Obama threw the gays under the bus a long time ago, so that doesn't really matter.
Well, that's true.
But and also another thing to point out, again, I don't believe a single word Rachel Jontel says.
No.
She said enough things that are verifiably false that therefore she can be completely discredited as a witness, you know, in the court. But the whole, like, court of public opinion, the whole lynching that happened of George Zimmerman beforehand was they were focusing on this one garbled little section of his 911 call where they were trying to bend it around that that George Zimmerman called Trayvon Martin a coon.
Which
also is also amusing because I think you have to be at least Alan's age to have ever heard that word.
I know. I was about to say, who says that anymore?
Yeah. So if we had a full functioning soundboard, someone would have to put a phonograph of the Charleston in the background while we're talking about this.
Yeah, that's
What they were trying to say is that, oh yeah, George Zimmerman said, oh, look at this, there's a coon in my neighborhood. Yeah.
Okay, let me play some music now.
Okay, see, that's why I wanted you to do it first.
Hey, there's some music. Let me turn it up a little. Hey, it's Thursday, July 18th, 2013. I had to stop for a second and think about what year it was because I didn't remember.
You creepy ass crackers. That's because Alan was doing the Charleston in his head.
I was. Amazing.
Well, basically, with this show, I kind of felt like we're all assumed to be racists anyway. So let's just run with it.
I'm taking Porch Monkey back.
What?
Not a great movie, but a good part of not a great
movie. I don't know. There's parts I really loved about that movie.
I like the, oh my God, his revelation that, oh my God, my grandmother was racist.
And the scene with the pussy troll was hilarious.
I have not seen this movie. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Clerks 2.
Kelly can be a boy's name.
That's right.
Oh, Kelly cannot be a boy's name.
Oh, yes, it can.
We know a Kelly that's a boy.
I know two Kellys that are boys.
That's funny. Okay.
But yeah, so where I was going though is that, according to the lynch mob, they were trying so hard to fit a frame around George Zimmerman that they took this garbled piece of nonsense that the FBI couldn't even clean up to even figure out what the actual word was, and we're trying to say that it sounded like George, you know, that George Zimmerman called Trayvon Martin a coon just before just before he hung up the phone with the police and then shot Trayvon. And I'll say right now that if indeed George Zimmerman had called Trayvon a coon, especially in the context that they were trying to make it sound like, he would be in prison right now. And, you know, and I don't necessarily know if I could argue with that. I don't necessarily think it's, you know, necessarily the exact right thing. That's not what I'm hanging my hat on. But it would make a pretty good thing on the prosecution's case that he had malice in his heart when he pulled the trigger as opposed to fear. So, but at the same time, that very same prosecution introduced Ms. Rachel Jontel, And she introduced the fact that just before Trayvon was shot, he referred to George Zimmerman as a creepy-ass cracker.
Pardon me.
I'm sorry.
Get it right.
I do live in Massachusetts, and I am from Maine, so therefore ours should not be in my vocabulary. But I will argue that my father is from northern Maine and talks about the city of Chicago.
Oh, God.
There's also a city called Washington, D.C.
All of my Irish relatives say Chicago. I don't know what it is.
Yep, yeah. Well, all my northern Maine relatives all say Chicago and Washington and garage.
Garage.
You got to wash your clothes, too.
Wash your clothes, yeah.
Hey, we got a caller.
Already?
Yeah, actually, we have two.
Hang up on them.
Awesome. Hang up on them niggas.
This is area code 361. What's up, my nigga?
How is everybody?
We're doing fine.
Yeah. The whole thing about...
Who is this?
Possibly first. George Zimmerman.
Who is this?
Who be this?
Mark, you met me at the NRA convention. I took a picture of your shoes with my little tiny keychain can.
Okay, Mark. Thanks for calling.
Excellent. Okay, good.
Now go.
Go ahead. Now go.
The whole thing with, Avon thinking that George Zimmerman, might be gay or something, that's a total crock. Their whole thing is they're trying to find out any excuse to justify Trayvon's actions, and he had no justification other than the fact that he felt like he could do it.
Right.
As for tonight's topic, I used to be in law enforcement. I was an auxiliary officer with the police department, municipal police department, North St. Louis County, and I also worked security for the various authorities. And when I was working for the police department, this municipality was 99.9% black. And I would pull somebody over, and they'd be like, why pull me over? It's because I'm black. I'm like, there's no other white people in this town except the police officers. And it's their standard, you only doing it because I'm black. I'm like, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, you've got tinted windows. I can't see through. You got your stereo cranked up so loud I can hear it from almost 100 yards away. And you ran a stop sign. That's why I pulled you.
Yeah.
But it's because you're black.
Yeah, according to them, it's because they were black. This is so, oh God, if I can't say that word.
No.
It's been so bred into these people that they are being persecuted for their skin color, when in fact it's their own race that's doing most of the persecution by keeping them down in the ghetto and everything. And I just think that these people, who are doing this for their own agenda and their own aggrandizement need to be taken into account.
I totally agree. And another reason why the victim mentality has been promoted within the Democratic Party. I mean, how else are they going to get votes, right? They create this class of victims where, we'll help you. Everybody's a racist, and you can't get ahead because this country is so terrible and so racist, and you're black, so you can't do it on your own. So let us help you. Vote for us.
The whole thing is designed to keep the Democratic Party and the leftists in power and to denigrate anything good that the Republicans and the conservatives or the libertarians do.
Right.
It's a big, gigantic power grab. And
sure.
I see people with that mentality. When I was working in in that one area, I'm not going to name it, but they believe this lie so strongly that, I mean, there were jobs available hand over fist if you had a high school diploma.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there were temporary agencies that tried opening up offices in those areas, and nobody would go in and apply.
Hmm.
And I'm like, you can go over there and get minimum $7 an hour working for the temp agency, also earning skills, because they would send you out to the warehouses out by the airport. They would send you down to the docks, to the port and everything, and you would learn how to operate equipment. They would help you pay to get your equipment operator's license, forklift, pallet jack, all the company would pay for that. But nobody wanted to go in there and actually do the work.
No, of course not, because living on public assistance, they've done studies now where if you get public assistance, like if you're a single black mother and you apply for everything you can get, you have more disposable income than someone with a full-time job and benefits and, living middle class.
Yeah, well,
why bother getting a job at this point?
Yeah, well, when I saw that in the housing authority, on Section 8, they get food stamps, they get a monthly check, they get Social Security for their kids, and yes, they get that. They're driving around in a brand-new Lexus or a brand-new Mercedes-Benz. I'm driving a 1976 old Cutlass Salon with a rebuilt transmission motor in it, and I'm working 60, 70 hours a week and then going to the police department working 6 hours.
Right. Do you feel like a sucker yet, or no?
I felt that way. That's why I got out of that a long time ago. I mean, I got tired of it. People saying, you pull me over because I'm black. I'm like, excuse me?
Yeah.
You drive a better car than I do. You dress better than I can for the rest of my own children. And you've got wads of cash in your wallet, and you're saying that I'm pulling you over because you're black. And it's like, like I said, I pull you over because you ran a stop sign, you got your music so loud I can hear you 100 yards away.
Yeah.
And I just got fed up with it and said the heck of it and got out of it.
Good for you.
Thanks for calling,
Mike.
Well,
I'll let you get that. All right, I'll talk to you later.
Okay, bye.
And that's the same. I mean, the victim mentality for the Democrats is it's the absolute hallmark, because that's the whole Barack Obama thing right now is the whole the only reason why people are arguing that Barack Obama's a bad president is because he's black, and it's like, or he's a bad president, sort of idea. But they can always play that race card.
Of course.
Because no one can see what's inside your heart, and you can't prove a negative anything. So therefore you can't prove that you're not a racist, that you're not judging him based on his skin color.
Well, I think I was talking about this earlier today. I think part of the problem here is that a lot of this comes from this liberal perfectibility of man thing that they keep having. The whole thing about, socialism and communism is based on that perfectibility of man idea that's screwed up so much stuff throughout history. They think if we can just train everybody to not be some mythical perfect man who's not racist, can be made to happen. And the problem is it won't. We're humans. We're all fucked up. We're all fallible. There hasn't been enough time for us to evolve past fear of the other.
Well, especially not when you've got the Jesse Jacksons and the Al Sharptons telling black men that everything that's wrong in their lives is the fault of the white devil.
Right.
Well, yeah, and I gotta go through. I mean, I don't know when the first time we had Black History Month was, but pretty
February.
Much. I mean, all right. Good night, folks.
Good night, everybody.
I'm sorry.
Oh shit.
Oh, worst show ever. All right, everybody, go out and give it a 1-star rating.
Weird, not to validate your point or anything, but a few years back when my son was in first grade and they were teaching, it was Black History Month and they were teaching him about Dr. King, he came home and he looked at me and he said, "Daddy, I'm really glad that Martin Luther King did what he did, because otherwise you couldn't have married Mommy."
Oh, nice.
I almost died. I was laughing so hard.
Aww.
Well, you are dark.
You are kind of brown, Jay.
Yeah. Hey, I'm so dark I get hassled by the Cambridge PD.
They act stupidly around Jay.
They act stupidly around
Jay. Oh, boy. Oh, we got more calls.
Hey!
Yeah. But, yeah. But what I was saying is, though, is we, with all this Black History Month, and I'll make it quick so the caller can hop on, but the whole Black History Month and all of that stuff and just teaching us, oh, racism is bad and we need to get rid of this stuff and, you know, and there's been a lot of bad things done by, you know, done by people for racist reasons. And in the end, it's, you know, we've got now this whole thing where it's all niggas and crackers and race baiting and just all of these articles that I've been quoting in my blog that are just so hateful and so racist in origin. And it's all bullshit. You know, and it's all completely against everything that Dr. King spoke for. And it's being encouraged. All right, let's get that caller on so I can shut
that up. And this is area code 972, which is somewhere in Dallas.
Well, actually, I'm in Wisconsin at the moment.
Okay.
But this is a Scribbler.
Scribbler, all right.
Scribbler, you get around. You get around.
Yeah, I'm actually mostly just calling to listen in at the moment because I couldn't get the tune in radio thing to work.
Okay.
But
he's doing it because he's racist.
Wait a minute. I'm
the worst sort
about
of race
the obligatory.
I
Scribble
don't
my nigga.
Care about race. Yeah, so what's actually the call on topic tonight?
Well, no.
Okay. That tells me pretty much all I need to know.
Call in topic is when have you ever personally been accused of being a racist?
Oh, of course.
And, well, I mean, you personally, not just you as a, you know, generic white person.
No, it's still an up-court situation.
What did you do?
I have a blog. That's honestly...
he has a blog. That's perfect. And totally understandable. Okay.
I've talked about the Trayvon Martin thing, and people say, oh, well, clearly you're racist. And the funny thing about it is that 90% of the time I'm accused of racism, I never said anything about any race whatsoever. And half the time I was actually talking about white people.
But it doesn't matter.
All these reactions are so thoroughly prepped on all sides. It's not just the African-American community that jumps on this. It's the liberals in general that just say, okay, well, if race, then racist. And completely disregard anything else you could possibly have to say.
Yep.
Growing up in and around Chicago is, it's just everything is about race, except the things that actually are about race, which I've always found frustrating and fascinating at the same time.
Yep. Hey, if you want to listen, call back and I'll not answer the phone for you.
All right, excellent. Because I'm actually out fishing right now and. Too many things to keep track of.
Okay.
Good talking with y'all. I'll call back and listen in.
Cool.
Thanks
for the call, Scribbler.
Well, Scribbler brought up a good point, is that this whole racism, you know, calling racism is a convenient way of ending a conversation.
Yep.
Because, like Weird said, they can't see what's in your heart. You can't prove that you're not. So they are... You know, somebody calls you a racist and it ends the conversation and you can't, I mean, the conversation becomes, no, I'm not a racist, you know, blah, 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 blah. And you're defending yourself. And so, you know, the original conversation ends.
And that is really convenient. It just destroys the conversation because, I mean, there's nowhere else to go. I mean, I was at a it was a research training program. I was learning to do rodent surgery, and so I'm with all these, like, you know, researchers and PhDs and all that. And there was one Black woman there, and she was a PhD, very, very smart, very educated. I mean, I was really impressed with her, and I had a whole lot of fun talking with her. And then all of a sudden, this was This is probably like a month or two after Trayvon Martin was killed, mm-hmm. and it came up, and she said that the George Zimmerman should be killed. After, you know, she says he's probably going to be found, you know, not guilty, but he should be killed, you know, by street justice.
Oh my!
That's a fair thing to do, and and I just kind of like shook my head, and her essentially response was, "Well, you don't know what it's like to be black growing up in this country," and I'm like you know what it's like to grow up to be white. You get these like, "Oh, you're pulling me over for being black," or you know, or I had this one article of a woman talking to her biracial son about growing up in America, and she was just talking about like, oh yeah, no, you have to be careful around people, you have to always be polite, you can't give attitude to the police and all of that. And it's one of those, this is like, what do you think, that white people are suddenly just like, just, oh yeah, yeah, I was shoplifting, oh, you're white, go yeah. You take it,
you deserve that.
I it was a post I ended up putting the Eddie Murphy sketch from classic Saturday Night Live, where he did the white like me, where he painted himself white and found that when there weren't black people around, white people just like gave each other stuff. And
oh, I remember that. That was hilarious.
Yeah. There was, they were riding on a bus and the one black person got off, and suddenly one woman pulls out a tray and starts serving drinks and they start playing music. Yeah, because that's what it's like to be white. I mean,
that's what happens.
I've never ever been pulled over by the police because I have blonde hair and light skin, and you know, and, well, okay, I have been pulled over with the police, but that was because Jay was driving.
Jay was driving while black.
That's right, and all of that, and I've never gotten in trouble. You know, I've gotten every job I've ever interviewed for because they say, oh, you're white. Well, obviously you're overqualified. Here, let me get, I've never worked minimum wage because white people don't work minimum wage. What the fuck? You don't know what it's like to grow up black? No, I don't. What the fuck? But you don't know what it's like to grow up white. So what the hell does that have to do with anything? You don't know what it's like to be me. No, and I don't, you don't know what it's like to be me. Where, what have we gained from this little discussion?
Here's the thing, though. Okay, you have all these people growing up black in the United States. And then at the same time, you have actual Africans from Africa, you know, waiting years to get visas to come over to this horrible, racist country. So that they can get educations and jobs and live full, free lives.
In this horrible racist
country. In this horrible racist country.
Which, by the way, I mean, I love that, like, whenever that gets thrown around, it's like America's somehow some pinnacle of racism in the world.
Right.
I remember a friend of mine who had accused me of being, she was black, and she accused me of being racist, and then said, really what we need to do is we need to look up towards this like anti-apartheid court system where people could raise grievances against apartheid in South Africa.
What?
And I went, what the fuck are you talking about? South Africa is such a racist nation. They have races that we don't even recognize that they're racist against.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of those, they have blacks and they have coloreds, which are two totally different things.
Yeah.
We just have blacks, and when we have coloreds, that just means Alan's talking about black people.
No, that's my grandmother. She really was racist. Holy shit.
Well, not necessarily, because if she's your grandmother, she's from the time when they actually started the NAACP.
That's true.
Colored people, yeah.
The approved word has changed over time.
Yeah, that was a great line from Stephen King's Dark Tower series, where a white character from the 1980s is talking to a black character from the late 50s, and refers to her as black, and she gets pissed off. Don't call me black. I'm colored. And he goes, you say to a black person, you call a black person colored where I'm from, and you're going to get your ass kicked.
Hey, we got more callers.
Oh, good.
Yay, callers.
This is Roadkill.
Yay.
Is it Roadkill, or is it...
Sean.
Dun, dun, dun. Come on, you need the music, Alan.
So, there's no music. Actually, I have been accused of being racist a few times in my long and illustrious career in cinema and woman sabotaging. So, one day, I was having... I was having sodomy with this attractive young African-American girl. And, well, I didn't bring any lubricant. But there was this bucket of KFC. So I rang out a couple of pieces of chicken and used it as a lubricant. So when she was, you know, putting her lips on afterwards, she's like, this tastes like chicken. You racist bastard. Oh, it was terrible. I couldn't even poop hockey after that. I just completely lost it. I was like, accusing me being a racist. It's just so, you know.
Everybody likes fried chicken.
Different women.
Everybody likes fried chicken.
That is one thing that really, really gets me scratching my head is the quote unquote like racist foods.
Oh
like
my God, the watermelon.
Fried chicken, watermelon, and menthol cigarettes is like the big one that I always hear. And it's one of those, I thought that was just like a Southern thing. I've never met a Southerner who doesn't like, you know, watermelon and fried chicken. And as a general rule, when I used to work down south on the fishing boats, it was
racist.
pretty much all menthol smoke. And I won't lie. I did indeed bum a menthol cigarette on a humid summer day on the deck of a fishing boat. And I must say, they do taste a whole lot better than they do in the cold, clammy New England winter.
I got nothing.
So, but yeah. So, but why is that? Why is that racist? That's Southern food. That's
you know, not, I have
Southerners are racist. Jesus, do we have to spell everything for you?
Yeah, seriously.
Well, if Southerners are racist, why do black people eat fried chicken?
I don't know.
Because they're in the South.
Well, this is that's what the man makes the meat.
Wait. Sean's trying to talk.
Who doesn't like fried chicken? What sort of non-human hates it? Someone with an allergy to chicken? But they're not people, right? It's okay to be racist against them, right? The people who hate fried chicken?
Yes, vegans.
Not non-vegans.
Terrible. Don't get me started on vegans.
Don't talk to me about vegans. Don't even talk to me. Because the second my dick touches a vegan, they die. It's so meaty. It kills them. It shocks them. They stop living. It's just like that.
You know, I just had a thought.
Uh-oh.
If... Well, never mind.
No, you have to say it now.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, cows eat grass and, you know, pigs eat anything and vegans, well, you know, it's like they're just trying to be food.
Yes. Ugh,
they're too stringy. I mean.
He doesn't mean stringy. He means smelly.
Well, yeah.
You know what? When it comes down to it, when the shit hits the fan, vegans are going to be food.
Yeah.
Soylent vegan.
No, sorry.
Something's going to be eating them, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for calling, Sean.
No problem. You all have a wonderful day.
You too.
I'm never going to look at fried chicken in the same way ever again.
Who knew it could be used as an emergency standby lubricant? Okay. I'll keep that in mind.
It'd be a little too hot.
What?
We have another caller.
Okay, good.
Area code 661. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Caller, you're on the air.
This means you.
Hello, 661.
666.
Do, hang up. Do, 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 do,
no, hang
do.
Up.
Well, again, that call-in number, 214-530-0036. We've had several good callers. You know, I want to veer off for a second.
All right, we're done. Now back on.
I want to veer off for a second and
another second. You yes, just had your second.
Well, this is a Texas second. So
that's a problem with you people, Alan.
Yeah,
give you an inch, you'll take a mile.
Another interesting thing happened today.
I'm the only one allowed to say you people weird.
Detroit has filed for bankruptcy. Finally.
What, just now?
Yeah, just now.
Uh-huh. I thought they were bankrupt years ago.
They were. They're just making it official now. And what's funny is immediately some group of retirees has filed to stop the bankruptcy filing. And because they're afraid they're not going to get their money. And I'm like, the city is bankrupt. You're not getting your money.
They're not going to invent it.
The bankruptcy is just to have someone equitably divide up whatever's left, if anything, and parse it out. You know, this is if you think you're going to get your retirement money by stopping the bankruptcy process, then you're delusional. Ain't going to happen. And I especially enjoyed the DetroitNews.com. You know, unsecured creditors may wind up. You know, it was hilarious. What was it? Shit, no, I have to. Where was it? Oh yes, unsecured creditors could take the biggest hit in bankruptcy court. Yeah. Usually, unsecured creditors get squat in a bankruptcy. That's why they're unsecured.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah.
Math is hard.
Yeah.
Detroit has been bankrupt, but the difference is that before they weren't paying their bills. Now they're saying, no, I'm never going to pay my bills.
Yeah.
I have no intention to ever pay you motherfuckers back.
Yeah. And, well, the thing that worries me is that you're starting to hear people say the Fed should bail out Detroit.
Oh, of course.
No.
Which would be a disaster of epic proportions. And you think the moral hazard involved in bailing out too big to fail banks was bad. Just wait till the Feds start bailing out cities.
By the way, I get spitting mad every time I see a Chevy Volt.
Oh, God.
Every single time. I always yell, enjoy your car, I paid for it.
I've only ever seen one.
Yeah, me too, Alan.
That one we saw.
Yeah. Jay, do you see any in your area, Jay?
There's a few. Fun.
And also I work in Boston, so when I'm in Boston, I see a lot of them. And if I worked in Cambridge, I would see a lot more of them.
Every time I see a park one, I pee on the door handle.
Nice.
Jay, be careful. They'll catch on fire.
Now that's the Tesla. It takes out half a city block with it.
I'm not nice to women who are getting their milk through Wick, you know.
Oh, you know, that reminds me. While we're waiting on people to call in at 214-530-0036.
We're waiting on you, motherfuckers.
Let me mention one of my pet peeves.
We're waiting on you niggas.
One of my pet peeves is this modern idea among the liberals that being on the dole should somehow not be humiliating.
I know. They should have to wear T-shirts.
They went to one of the reasons they went to the EBT card, there are lots of them, but one of the reasons was because the so-called, you know, paper food stamps were demeaning somehow. Mm-hmm. You know what? If I'm paying for your food and I'm paying for your house, I want you to be fucking humiliated. You should be humiliated.
Moreover, when I'm at the grocery store, I want to know who you are.
Yeah.
So I can look at you.
Yes. Like down on you.
Yes.
Deadbeat.
And also, I want to bum at least one of those cigarettes that you're buying with your food assistance thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. And now we have callers. Awesome.
Excellent.
This one is area code 360, which says Olympia, Washington, but I'm thinking it's somebody else or somewhere else.
I think this is the White Rage episode.
Is it the White Rage episode?
I think so.
Okay. I don't know. We get Jay.
Hello, caller.
That'd be me, and I am now in South Carolina still.
It's Bradley.
Yeah.
He's like the human pinball.
He is. He's just bing, bing, bing around the country.
Hey, if you're going to offer me more money, I'm gone. I'm a fart of wind, and me and a rider truck are out. But I think if you're a WIC, all you should be able to buy is rice and, like, you know, government
cheese,
milk, and eggs. That's it. You know, no junk food, no sodas, no meat.
Well,
you're going to eat like crap because you're not willing to work for a living. So,
you know, beans and rice is a very nutritionally complete meal.
It is.
And cheap.
Yep. Beans, rice,
yeah.
Throw in some cheese, some milk.
Maybe some vegetables on a good day.
Sure.
Yeah.
No, I agree. I mean, I certainly think public assistance, they shouldn't shop at the same store as people that are spending their real money on it. It should be all unbranded government government bought materials that are just for the purpose of helping people out. You know, the company wants to do a favor and donate some food to help out poor people. Good. Finest Kind will help that. It's not going to have your brand name on it. You know, there's not going to be any brand. You're just going to get your big old chunk of government cheese. You're going to get your loaf of government brand bread. And that's what you're going to get. And no, it's not going to sell cigarettes. It's not going to sell booze. It's not going to sell sodas. It's not going to sell any of that shit that you shouldn't be buying when you're getting other people's stuff. That stuff is luxury.
I was reading an interesting article today that said that in a large part, food stamps amount to corporate welfare.
Hmm.
And especially since so many people that are work, you know, actually do have a job, get an EBT card also. It lets, you know, it's like subsidizing low wage employment.
Yeah,
I can sort of see that, but you know, you can make the same argument for Section 8 housing and everything else.
Well, yeah,
which is why we should get rid of all of it.
I agree,
because I can guarantee if we got rid of all this food stamps and all the Section 8 housing and all that, and people suddenly had to actually live under the consequences of their shitty ass decisions, they would either stop making shitty decisions or die.
Well, here's the thing. Ever since we started subsidizing poor people, we have more poor people than ever before. You know, it's the, you know, we used to have, you know, the so-called poor people, which, you know, were people basically living in tents and shacks and cardboard in begging for food. And now, you know, they started paying people to be poor. And you know what happens when you subsidize something? You get more of it.
Yep.
So,
right. Well, the poor also used to be highly upwardly mobile because they would beg for enough food
right.
to get a damn job, to get work experience. And, you know, in 10 years, they'd be a shift lead or something like that. And so their poor brother or their poor group or whatever would come in and follow them through and treat them all paying crap poor. You stay at the job for 6 months, a year, hey, you're no longer poor. You know, we don't do that anymore. We give them enough to not riot.
Right. Well, you can say the same thing about extended unemployment. It does the same thing. It subsidizes not having to work. So, you know, there are a significant number of people that you know, you keep reading about these people that aren't, you know, that have fallen out of the workforce. They're no longer counted as unemployed because they're not actively looking for a job. Well, because we've made not being employed and not looking for a job so lucrative financially. You know, say you could go get a job somewhere maybe for minimum wage, or you can sit and collect unemployment and not work at all. Which are you going to do?
Well, as someone who's been on unemployment twice within the past year, you know, once about a year ago and once recently, both those unemployment, I literally had the company had to pay me $20 an hour to pay me more money than I was getting for doing 3 job searches a week.
Well, see, there you go.
How how in God's name am I going to find a job doing three jobs for kids a week?
Yeah, and 20 bucks an hour is pretty damn good money.
Yes, it is. Right? You know,
I mean, it's not. You're not going to be rich, but it's enough to live on.
Yeah, you know, I had all my bills and more covered. You know, I got guns when I was on unemployment.
Yep.
No, my ammo and shit. I shouldn't be able to do that, but there, I will.
Yep.
Yeah, no, the same way. I was unemployed at the beginning of this year, or actually, no, it was actually last summer. It was almost a year ago. Jesus, time flies. And yeah, it was one of those things of the, you know, I went on unemployment, and I, you know, tightened up the old belt strings, and you know, was really cautious. And I mean, I worked my ass off to get the fuck off of it because, number one, I wanted to be working, and number two, I did not want to be collecting from the government because, you know, unlike everybody else, I do have a sense of shame, and I did not like the fact that I was collecting. But it also turned out to be, yeah, it wasn't all that bad. We didn't struggle. There wasn't any real need to dip into the savings or anything like that. We just coasted along until I got my current job, and we're doing great. And, yeah. And I had a big enough surplus left over from my tightening my belt strings that when I went to the shop to buy a gun today, I bought two instead.
Nice.
I
don't know about Jay, but I was stupid embarrassed taking an unemployment check that says unemployment of Hawaii into Wells Fargo. It was just, you know, it was so demeaning to me. It's like, yeah, hi, I'm a loser. Could you put this in my bank account, please?
Good.
Well, you know what's actually here's a bad one that really pissed me off is that I knew commercial fishermen that would go on unemployment. Now, how it works is you're a commercial fisherman. You go out and you fish. You have an allotted number of days. You catch your fish, and then you come back, and you've got an allotted number of days that you can spend at sea, so therefore you're not allowed to fish all the time.
Right.
And so there'd be times where overall market prices are very, very low and the fishing isn't very good, and so they just say, fuck it, we're not going to fish right now. We're going to fish when we're going to make the most money and have the least amount of risk. And so they might tie up for a month. And for that month, those guys would collect. And it's one of those, no, you're not out of work. You have a job.
Doesn't matter.
And it's not like they're making, you know, 20, 30 bucks an hour, so to speak, coming in there. I mean, I was on one boat where we were gone for 10 days and everyone left with, you know, $5,000 in their pocket. That's a pretty darn good week.
Yep.
I would like that sort of week.
Yeah, there's a lot.
So would I. I was riding along with the motherfuckers, and I didn't get that much money.
Yeah, there are a lot of people that work those highly seasonal jobs. That the best one I can think of are the people that work the state fair. I know of several people that own like those little food booths at the state fair,
yep.
And mm-hmm. It runs for, you know, a couple of weeks in August down here, and they make their year's income during the state fair, and the other you know 11 months of the year, they're basically, you know, effectively unemployed.
And they collect?
Oh, I don't know if they do or not, but I'm just saying that there are a lot of people that make, you know, that make a shitload of money for limited periods of time. You could say the same thing about teachers. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if teachers went on unemployment in the summer sometimes.
Well, at least the union ones don't, because they're getting paid the whole time. They don't get.
Oh, so even in the summer they're getting.
Yeah, their salaries are amortized over 12 months.
Yep. So
nice.
My father back before the days of direct deposit, my father was going in every week into school in the summertime, or every 2 weeks, I don't know what it was, but he was going into school in the middle of the summertime. And it's actually even better, because when they would go in, you know, the secretaries in the office would be there. there. So there, it's the middle of summertime. The school is completely freaking empty, which was actually kind of fun when I went because you're just running around the school. There's nobody there. But the school will be completely empty and except for the secretaries in the office, and they'd be giving the paychecks out.
Wonderful.
So yeah, so no, so they can't compare. But what teachers do, which is hilarious in the fact that they're always bitching about how little money they make, is every goddamn teacher on the planet has a summer job.
Oh yeah.
And it's one of those, hi, you know, I make, you know, my as a marine biologist, you know, fresh out of college, I made as much as I had a ton of friends that went into education. And so we graduated at the same time. We had the same qualifications. And you know what? We made pretty much the exact same money and benefits. The only difference is my friends who went into teaching, A, had to deal with bullshit that I didn't want to deal with and would have gotten me fired. So we'll call that a win-win. But they got to go and have a summer job.
Yep.
You know, they had their bullshit summer job that they worked through, you know, worked at college when they were home on break. And they just, a lot of them just kept fucking doing it. And so they're pulling in some halfway decent coin while they're making a competitive wage for the rest of the year. Sorry. Yeah, yep.
I've actually got a couple of friends that are teachers, and they're married to each other. They don't have any kids. And every year, a contract negotiation, or every other year, whatever it is, they're always complaining about how they're not paid, they don't have enough money, they don't have enough money in the school to buy, you know, enough supplies for the kids and whatnot. Yet, like clockwork, every Christmas break, they're going to Hawaii. Every summer, they're spending, usually in Mexico, but, you know, they're jetting off somewhere. Last year, it was Germany for 2 weeks. Again? Don't think you're hurting for money. You're both driving relatively new cars, and you're taking two long vacations every year. Kiss my happy ass.
Yep.
What's a vacation?
Yeah. Hey, Jay, what's a vacation?
Jay knows. Jay has lots of vacations.
Hey, thanks right. for calling, Bradley.
No problem. Talk to you guys later.
We got two more callers.
Right.
Is vacation that time that you take off so that you can get woken up by screaming babies?
Yes.
Screaming babies?
It's,
I'm looking forward to that vacation.
Area code 503. Hello.
Hey. It's KJ.
Hey, KJ.
I can barely hear them.
Yeah, he's very dim. Very. Yeah.
That's not a nice thing to
that's
say.
Not nice.
Racist.
Yeah.
Your KJ. Voice is very low.
Yes.
Shame on you. Now I have to come beat you.
Anyway. I want to watch that.
Anyway.
Yeah, I'd probably lose, but I'll try.
That's right.
Yeah, as far as food stamps go, I'm 100% with Bradley. You get beans, rice, baby formula, and distilled water. And to make up for any nutritional deficiencies, you get a jar of multivitamins. Have fun.
Yeah,
I have a funny story. A woman. Did I tell this story at the Squirrel Report? I could swear I did, but maybe I didn't. But the girl I work with at the library, her cousin works at a grocery store. Did I tell the story already?
I don't remember.
I don't know. But you know what? Okay. We have new listeners all the time. So
all right. Well, China, I'm sure China is interested.
Yes.
Anyway, so I work with a girl at the library, and her cousin works at a grocery store. And, of course, deals all the time with people with food stamps and EBT cards and that sort of thing. And the most notorious, I mean, you know, you always hear stories about the people coming in and buying lobster with their food stamps, which is perfectly legal, by the way. They buy steaks and lobster on their food stamps or EBT cards or whatever they call it. Anyway, but the most notorious story that this girl had was she was working in the grocery store bakery. And one day, someone called up and wanted to order a wedding cake. And this wedding cake was over the top. Like, you know, an insanely huge wedding cake with all sorts of fancy decorations and the expensive filling and everything. And then when they came in to pick up the wedding cake, they paid for it with their food stamps.
Wow.
Now, this was a $600 wedding cake. $600 wedding cake. So the person takes their wedding cake home, and then the next day calls in and says they're not happy with their $600 wedding cake, claiming that some of the decorations were wrong or whatnot, and wanted a full refund.
Nice.
On EBT wedding cake.
Wow.
Yeah. God bless a grocery store. They said, no. Take your wedding cake and shove it where the sun don't shine.
Cram it in your pie hole.
Yep.
You know, it's a free wedding cake. We paid for your wedding cake. But that's the sort of thing, you know. They're not buying nutritional food.
No, McDonald's takes EBTs.
Right.
They're getting shit and we're paying for it.
Yeah. So,
man, I can barely hear you, KJ.
Yeah, I can't hear KJ at all. But I would love to have I wouldn't be opposed to an EBT system or a food stamp system that would pay for it, you know, for a short amount of time until people get on their feet. You know, essentials, potatoes,
beans and rice, and potatoes,
beans and rice, and some vegetables, yep. Milk. You know, that sort of thing. The essentials, eggs.
Wild turkey.
Well,
that's,
I mean,
that's scotch, but wild
you,
turkey.
You don't want people starving. I mean,
no,
that's,
of course not.
You know, I think we have enough economic surplus in the U.S. that we can let people not starve. However, I don't want them to be, you know, living the high life either.
Right.
Yeah. Damn it.
You don't want them starving, but you do want them lean and hungry.
That's right.
In every sense of that.
We have
that
more callers. This is area code 940 in Denton, Texas.
Hey!
I heard there's a lot of racist in Texas.
It's not necessarily in Denton. It could be anywhere in Texas, sir.
I know that, dude. That's my common-law husband.
What?
That's got to be Jay.
Yes, sir.
You know, Jay, we haven't shared that story yet.
Uh-oh.
The night that we got demonstrative in St. Louis.
Did you cuddle?
I was
on my knees in front of him while he was wearing a kilt.
Uh-oh.
In the side room of a hotel.
So.
And some people came in and they were confused.
Well, but if you were on your knees, you were about the same height, right?
Well, actually not too far.
I think we should probably tell everybody who this is, because we all know who it is, except our audience doesn't know who it is.
Matchy.
Yeah.
It's Matchy.
Not from Denton, Texas. It's
yes.
Just that
the call.
Know, one's got a cell phone in that area.
Yep.
But I was thinking, going back to the topic at hand, of when we've been called a racist. I've been called a racist a few times.
Oh,
I'm sure you have.
The very first time, and I was in the public employ, but not in the job in which I do now, I was a school bus driver. It was a pretty good college gig. And I, of course, had to put little Johnny up front, and then I had to call little Johnny's mom when he was being a little shit, and I had to tell little Johnny's mom, hey, little Johnny's being a little shit. Well, it wasn't little Johnny. I think it was like Ray Ray or JJ or whatever. And she finally, after about the fourth time that I called and didn't kick her son off the bus or anything, said, I think what you is you's one of those racial type people.
Oh, dear.
Uh-huh.
I said, no, ma'am, I'm white. And she said, you're, and she missed it. And she said, no, I think the problem is you have a problem with my child because he's not a good color. And I thought about it, and I thought about the fact I was actually actively dating somebody that was a minority, and I thought about saying something, and then I just said, no, I just called to tell you that your child's been kicked off the bus. Bye. Then I tore up the warning that I was already doing. I mean, it was one of those cases in which they've already decided what I was.
Yep.
There was nothing I could do to earn it back.
Nope.
Why was I trying to use discretion to keep her kid on the bus and try to get, you know, she had already decided that the system was against her. All I could do was make my $6.66 an hour be a little more pleasant. Yes, I was paid the payment of the beast.
Nice. Well, you're driving a school bus.
That is not a coincidence, sir.
No, I don't think so. Actually, that was what I got paid after I earned my way up. I got started at $6 an hour.
Ooh.
Which back in my day was pretty good money, I might add. But I got paid $6 an hour for the first 6 months, and then after I beat my probation, then I got up to $6.66.
Yeah, I was going to say, for a college job, that's damn good money back then.
Yeah. Well, at the same time that I was doing that, this was one of the jobs I did back when I was going to university and going to police academy, and also on the weekends working at Brahms. I know Alan knows what a Brahms is.
Yep.
And where I was a soda jerk and fry cook, and also I would deliver school buses from Georgia, from the Bluebird School Bus Factory. And I worked at Brahms, and I had to be trained on how to accept food stamps. And the rule was, this was state law, that we could give them anything on food stamps as long as it was, number one, packed, or to go. They couldn't eat it in the store, so they couldn't buy restaurant food. Brahms is also, they consider themselves kind of a little market, too. But it had to also be not heated. So we could give them strawberry shortcake sundaes, but we couldn't give them hot fudge sundaes.
Oh, my God.
Because
gosh.
The hot fudge would heat it.
Okay.
And we had people coming in and getting useful food stamps to get the full deluxe super-duper banana split. With extra nuts and all this, but it had to be packed to go, and there couldn't be any hot caramel or hot fudge.
Wow.
I did that for a couple of years.
Wow.
Every year in my current job as I guess I pick up trash on the side of the road, I have to report to the state every morning and every ticket that I write. And I have to put down what their race was, what their ethnicity was, and whether I knew it before I stopped them. And it's kind of funny because what they're trying to do is stop, and I actually think that it's a noble thing to try to stop cops from stopping people just on the basis of race.
Sure.
What it does do, in fact, is make me, when I pull somebody over, I think, oh, crap, is this guy Hispanic? Oh, man, that's going to kill my stats. So all of a sudden, it's doing the exact opposite.
You got a racial quota.
I'm literally paying attention to the race because they're tracking my stats.
Wow.
Now you have to check off that you were paying attention to their race.
I have made it my personal effort not to let that affect whether or not I pull somebody over. But, I mean, it's in the back of my head. I'm like, yep.
Talk about your perverse incentives.
This minority that I pulled over today, and, you know, maybe I need to go pull over a white person or something.
Great.
And it's, anyway, that's my way. And, of course, many, many, many times on the job I've been accused of being a racist because Nobody wants to believe that it's their fault that they got a citation or, you know, we all want to have a reason for why something happened.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I get that. You know, it's really funny because working with the public, you're going to get that. People will use the race card as much as they can to get out of whatever. I mean, I've had people call me a racist at the library because I've asked them to pay 20 cents. For their printouts at the computer. No, I ask everybody.
You're trying to run them off.
Right. You know, it's like emotional blackmail, kind of. And really, at this point, somebody calls me a racist. I mean, I get called racist at the library for all sorts of ridiculous reasons that have nothing to do with race. And I just kind of look at them like, my reaction is I look at them and I'm like, are you serious? I don't even know what you're talking about. You know, I ask everybody for their 20 cents for their printouts. Or, you're being an asshole. I'm going to kick you out. I don't care what color you are. You know. But it's like an automatic reaction. And I think it's that they think that if they pull out the race card and call you a racist, that the conversation is over and they've won. Because you can't fight that, right? You don't want to be called a racist. You don't want to be assumed to be a racist.
I mean, count the number of force fields that we have around, you know, in any conversation where you get to go ahead and end the conversation. Let's see. If we race, you know.
It's any ish, really.
I'm proud of my race. Oh, well, crap, I can't. I'm very proud of my citizenship or, you know, some jingoistic national. Oh, well, okay, we're all very patriotic, and I am too. Religion is the big. You know, well, because that's what God would want us to do. Well, okay, I can't touch that, can I? I can't even discuss the issue. You win. It's
right.
You know, when people invoke certain force fields and they get to where they, it's like a lawyer Daggett. They draw it like a gun.
Yeah, it really is, and it's the victim mentality. You're in a special group of victims that has to be treated deferentially by everybody else. You know, you can call somebody a racist, a sexist, a ageist, a istist. I don't know. You know, just it hinders conversation and it hinders growth, really, I think, in society.
I've more than once had to ask people that have accused me of being racist that they automatically jump to the conclusion the reason that I'm talking to them is out of race. You know, my question that I've had to ask him is, isn't it hard? Don't you get tired of walking everywhere with that chip on your shoulder?
Yeah.
And it must be a real strain. I mean, don't you at some point just want to put it down?
Yeah. No, I understand.
I gotta jump in here and quote Angus McThagg. He has a great line that he said a bunch of times on his blog, which is, if you keep calling me a racist, pretty soon I'm going to start taking your word for it.
Yeah.
And there's a lot to it. It's one of those, you know, I don't know what the race is that we're talking about, because we've been pretty good about being fairly neutral in our terms when Bria was talking about being accused of being a racist for asking people to pay their, you know, pay the prerequisite fee and all that. But let's face it, I've been called a racist a million times by various black people. So you know what? All those people that you guys have been talking about have been black in my book.
Yes.
Why? Because they're always calling me a racist. They're always saying, I'm judging them because of the color of my skin. You pulled me over because I was black. You don't know what it's like to grow up black in America. You keep calling me a racist, I'm going to pretty much start taking your word for it. No, there's no official statement that Barack Obama said, you know what, I hate me some goddamn white people. I want to kill me some honkies. I want to kill me some crackers or whatever. But simply because he sat in the pews of Trinity United Church of Christ, I know for a fact that he despises me because of the color of my skin. And also, it doesn't hurt that he's telling Eric Holder to find a way to put George Zimmerman in jail, because even though George Zimmerman is also black by all the Jim Crow standards,
one drop.
He's a quadroon,
he is a quadroon. Yep,
just saying.
Yep. George Zimmerman is officially a quadroon, and of that quadroon, only half of it is Jew, not white. Because let's also be fair, Jews don't get the fair share of white when we're talking about racism here. But George Zimmerman is not the right color. He is too light. He's too light for Barack Obama, and therefore he must be hung by the nearest lamppost.
Barack Obama's mother was white. I just want to add that.
Yep, he is a mulatto. If we're bouncing around the quadroon.
Hey, thanks for calling, Matt.
Yeah. You know, just before, I know we're over time, but.
That's okay. We'll go on.
This whole black-white thing is kind of, it starts from childhood. You know, black children are raised a little bit differently in a different kind of culture than white children are. I know from my experience growing up as a white child in America, despite my high cheekbones.
And to be fair,
you sure you're not part Indian? You could run for Senate here.
I am black Irish. I will. Anyway.
I'm a white meat popsicle.
Anyway, a meat popsicle. White children are always taught in school and in every facet of culture that we try to instill this feeling in white children that everybody's the same despite their skin color, and you know, treat everybody the same, and skin color doesn't matter, but. In the black culture, there's a different kind of undercurrent. There's an undercurrent of, well, whitey's trying to keep us down. You know, everybody's going to treat you differently because they're racist. Like, it's like an assumption that every white person is racist. When, in fact, it's the opposite. We really struggle to not be.
And black people are really struggling to be racist. I want to just lay that right down.
I don't think they're struggling.
I am in no way, shape, or form saying that every black person is racist. I know a million extremely delightful ones.
Yes.
But God damn it, I know a shitload of them who are the most racist people on the face of the goddamn planet.
And there's a
bunch more that I do not know, nor do I ever care to know, that are far worse than any goddamn Klansman that was wandering around in the Jim Crow South.
I have become so immune to being called a racist at the library that it rolls off my back. Because I get called... It loses its meaning because, the people who call me a racist, I don't think they even understand what it means, that term. I think they just use it as an out. You know, I don't want them to be fooling around the computers. I kick them out. I ask them for money for their printouts, et cetera, et cetera. I'm a racist. Oh, okay, I'm a racist. Whatever. Get out.
It's time for the library to close and for them to go home. You're a racist.
I'm a racist.
Yeah.
But the thing that struck me and has stuck with me, and I think this happened over a year ago, but I was helping a gentleman on the computer, and he was a lovely man, and I helped him. And I helped him do his email, and to the extent where he said he wanted to hire me because he needed a secretary. He had like a small business. He was a contractor kind of guy. And, I said, I'm sorry, I have a job and, you know, whatever. I'm happy to help you on the computer and come in anytime, but, you know, whatever. But after that interaction, he went to the library director and he... complimented me to the library director. And he said I was professional and polite and helpful and pleasant, but he tacked on the fact that I didn't treat him any differently because he was black. And that stuck with me because there's this assumption that I would. You know what I mean?
So, I'm gobsmacked, Brita.
I don't have the paper anymore, but he actually had it in writing that he was so happy that I treated him the same, even though he was black.
Was he an older gentleman?
Yes, Brita? He was older. He was older.
Like, yeah. It's kind of.
But I was
you'd expect it, but it's a little more understanding coming from somebody that lived through Jim Crow and, you know, colored fountains and...
Yeah, but that wasn't in Ohio.
I don't know. This is in Cleveland.
That wasn't... They didn't do that there.
You know, it's in Cleveland.
There's a whole different...
And it was kind of like that stuck with me so much because I was thinking, wait a minute. I enter every interaction with a patron the same from the get-go. My reaction to them depends on them. You know, if you treat me badly in the library, if you're a patron, you come up and you treat me badly, I will shut down. I'll give you what you need, but I'm not going to be friendly with you. But, you know, if we're all human beings and getting along and I can help you, and it's wonderful, it's lovely. And I don't care what color you are because I will enjoy it. But the fact that he had to note to my director that, hey, Brita's not a racist, indicates to me that he assumed I would be.
He had you pegged as a cracker, plain
sure.
and simple.
And I was struck by that.
And to be fair, Brita's not a cracker because she is Irish.
Can we just...
And remember, no dogs, no Irish. Which is another thing that's hilarious is that, like, Brita self-described herself as white. Yet,
I'm really glow-in-the-dark.
Yeah, like. but
Brita's translucent.
Yeah, but in the early 1800s, the Irish were, in a lot of cases, the lower than black people in the U.S.
Need not apply.
They would take a hard-working African American over an Irishman any day of the week.
They still sell novelty signs in Massachusetts that say "No dogs, no Irish."
Lovely.
Well, can I tell one of my stories real quick?
Of course.
Yes.
When I was in college, I was very good.
Now
friends
this is coming from the other side. Now, this is talking to light-skinned people.
That's right.
And, you whiteies.
Jay is anything but.
I had a friend who was, she had a black father and a white mother. So she was considered black for the purposes of financial aid and whatnot. And she had a full scholarship because she was black. I was darker than her.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Like, Kaylee, come here. Yeah. Come here.
And to be fair, Jay is darker than Manupal.
Yeah, I've had that same experience, Jay.
With Mexicans?
No, it's there was a black guy I worked with in Philadelphia, and we were sitting there next to each other at the table working, and he looked down at my, you know, our arms were kind of just laying on the table next to each other, and he looked at me and he's like, "Your skin's darker than mine." And I looked down and I was like, holy shit, it is.
The wonders of melanin.
And he was black and I'm definitely not.
Yeah, but that was just your left arm.
But, yeah, so, you know, that was interesting.
Yeah. Well, it all comes down to, it's politics, you know.
Yeah.
It's divide and conquer. It's classic, you know, divide us into little groups that we can fight amongst ourselves and, you know, highlight our differences.
The government.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I think that's what the whole Trayvon, you know, post-Trayvon hysteria has been about. You know, the media and the government has been ginning up this reaction among people, and I think it's convenient for them. Why not? You know, Barack Obama came out, his big statement following the Trayvon Martin verdict was to call for more gun control.
Yeah. Well, that was the other topic we were going to talk about tonight, was this whole, you know, to those types of people. George Zimmerman was a murderer.
Sure.
Because they don't recognize the concept of self-defense.
Right.
All they know is somebody got killed.
With a gun.
With a gun.
And guns are bad.
Right.
Therefore, murder.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. And that's why you hear these people calling Zimmerman a murderer. And how could he, you know, how could they let him go? He murdered that black boy. And a lot of that is because they don't their mental concept of self-defense doesn't exist. They don't, you know. And you know, Obama and Holder, they have the same, you know, there is no circumstances where you're allowed. It's like over in Britain where you can't defend yourself. You know, that's their attitude. They have that same, you know, self-defense is not, you know, if it was up to them, we wouldn't be able to defend ourselves from anyone.
Well, I mean, they had Holder doing the big anti-stand your ground tour, even though stand your ground didn't even factor into this.
Right.
You know, they had this big, there's this big temporal distortion because the whole, well, Zimmerman never should have gotten out of his car. He was told not to, blah, blah, blah. All the bullshit that did that. Yeah. And then
he wasn't told. He was ordered.
Right. Yeah. Big blank spot. Zimmerman shoots Martin in the chest.
Right.
Like they just, that whole section where Martin was beating the living shit out of Zimmerman. Oh, that
doesn't even matter.
No, it doesn't matter.
It never happened. Yeah. It just, you know, poop.
There are people out there. There are people out there, and I've seen them. Sometimes you just can't avoid the crazy. And there are people that swear up and down that George Zimmerman was patrolling the neighborhood, looking, for someone to shoot
with a gun in his hand.
With a gun in his hand, he got out of the car, chased poor little Trayvon down, and shot him. 12-year-old
Trayvon Martin.
Yeah, and that's the narrative.
The one that I hear a lot too, and I think we probably have, so many of us have heard this one too, is I haven't really followed this case much. Oh, but
yeah, but here's my opinion. And if you disagree with me, you're a racist.
Yeah.
Well,
I was discussing with somebody at work, and unfortunately, like, I just kind of walked away from it before I realized exactly what I was so pissed off. Was we were talking about the case, and I'm citing, you know, transcripts of the 911 call and actual events that happened and actual, like, definitions of murder 2, murder 1, manslaughter, and all that. And he goes, well, I haven't really been following the case. We're just going to have to agree to disagree. And I realized after you know, I didn't get a chance to say that to him, but it was one of those. But the next time somebody says that, he's like, no. Agree to disagree means that we are ending on equal terms.
Yeah.
I have devoted time looking at the evidence, looking at that. I have read Trayvon Martin's autopsy report. I have read George Zimmerman's arrest report. I have read the catalog of the evidence collected at the scene. I have looked at the crime scene photos. You know, I have followed so much. I've done so much work on this, and you listen to fucking Rachel Maddow talk about what she thinks happened.
Well,
not ending on fucking equal terms because I've been objective and you're just coasting. No, we're not going to agree to disagree. You can either step up to the plate here or shut the fuck up.
I like a good weird rant.
Me too. But it's very similar to how Barack Obama got elected.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, a lot of people are like, well, I didn't really follow the issues.
Low information. Like,
oh my God, black guy.
Yep.
But black guy.
I mean, let's be honest.
I voted for Barack Obama because he looks good with his shirt off.
He doesn't. He does not. Let me just state that for the record.
No, these are,
Frida, these are the same people that in the 90s said Hillary Clinton's attractive.
Oh God.
Oh, the blind people?
Yeah. I mean, she is
Braille.
She said nothing but city miles on her right now. But even at her prime, she was a 5.5 at best.
Cankles.
That's
what number
that's
of
pretty,
beers?
That's pretty generous. Weird. I wouldn't bother that much.
Super. Oh come on! It's not like Bill Clinton was fucking.
No.
Oh. Tough crowd of racists tonight.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. I'm not as an aside. I always wondered how a notorious horn dog like Bill Clinton wound up with Hillary.
Because Hillary's more interested in Mrs. Anthony Weiner. It's actually, it makes perfect sense. Bill Clinton wants to fuck everything that moves. Why doesn't he pick a woman that's not particularly handsome? I mean, it's one of those, like,
right.
they even did it. Notorious Democrat Warren Beatty in unbelievably racist movie Bullworth.
I remember that one.
Starts off with that. It's a husband and wife team. Neither one of them gives a flying fuck about the other, but the appearance of both of them being married gives them a mutual benefit.
Yep.
We will never elect another bachelor president. It's just not going to happen. We will elect a same-sex couple for president before we elect a bachelor president.
Probably.
Because it's one James of those. Buchanan. Oh, are they, you know, yeah. And everyone's calling James Buchanan gay for.
So was Lincoln.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Lincoln was definitely a huge homo. Big time. He hung out in the bathhouses of Chicago.
Racist.
Yeah.
Racist. That's right.
Abraham Lincoln. Racist. Bear extraordinaire.
So when he wasn't killing vampires.
Vampires, yeah.
Yeah, when he wasn't killing vampires, he was chugging cock and plowing ass.
Well, you know, the other thing is that you know, now that
good night, everybody.
Now that Zimmerman's been acquitted.
Yeah.
The Department of Justice is saying
I said he can't have his gun now.
Yeah, they're saying, wait a minute, we're still investigating.
Yeah.
Here's the thing.
Give George Zimmerman a gun.
There
please.
Is absolutely no possibility that they will bring a civil rights case against George Zimmerman.
Just all they have to do is call the FBI, and the FBI will say, "No, we didn't."
But again, I hope they do, because I want to see a black president and a black attorney general go after a quarter black man because of his skin color. That's at this point in time, seeing all of this fucking racism, I want to see our Justice Department throw a fucking rope over a lamppost and string up George Zimmerman and kill him. Because, I mean, just maybe that will wake some fucking people up to what's happening.
It won't.
No, it won't. But
I think it's funny that George Zimmerman is the only person the left wants to see executed.
Yeah, actually, that's a point that I was actually planning on making much earlier in the week, but I'd since forgotten about it, Jay. So thanks for reminding me.
Well, he's not a fetus either. So.
But there's so many people that I know that think George Zimmerman is guilty and is horrible, and this is Florida saying that it's perfectly legal to shoot black kids and all of that. But meanwhile, they've argued with I'm very pro death penalty. And they've argued with me that we can have death penalty because there's a possibility that we might kill an innocent person.
Yep. Yet Zimmerman must die.
Yet no evidence given.
Yeah.
Racism introduced by the prosecution and none against Zimmerman. And all of this information in this case, and yet he is guilty because they know something super secret that nobody else does.
Well, see, here's the thing, okay? And the thing that, you know, it's like they're twisted around their own cognitive dissonance here, because, you know, Zimmerman being quarter black, by their own liberal logic, cannot be racist, because black people can't be racist.
He also voted for Obama.
They can't be. The liberal law is that black people cannot be racist. It's impossible. Therefore, Zimmerman cannot be racist.
And again, they also believe in the Jim Crow. If someone's got one drop of black blood, that one touch of the tar brush.
That's right. You
are black. So it doesn't matter if you're Barack Obama, who's half black and pretty much looks pretty much all the way black, or if you're somebody else or George Zimmerman, who's just got a drop of, you know, got a little bit of black blood in him, or even somebody that's pretty much almost all the way white and
he
that they had some
he
black.
Is blacker than Homer Plessy.
He's blacker than Jefferson's illegitimate kids.
Yep.
I never heard this because, oddly enough, they don't want to talk about this. is that all of Jefferson's illegitimate children, after Jefferson died, were freed. And they were white by law. It wasn't until after the Civil War that the one drop of black blood law came in. And they were all more than an octoroon. It's an octoroon was the magical black person.
1/8.
Yeah. So someone that was 1/8 black that had someone that was all white except for a black grandmother or grandfather.
A cookie made with coconut? Oh wait, no, that's macaroon.
Yes, that's macaroon. But the since Sally Hemings was actually Jefferson's wife's half sister, allegedly, so she was a mulatto herself. And then going on, you know, banging on Jefferson, and there was not enough black blood in them for it to count.
Well,
so yeah, so George Zimmerman is blacker than these Sally Hemings children that all these black crusaders constantly talk about with institutional racism and yada yada yada.
Yeah, well, you know, if logic mattered, they wouldn't be liberals. So
that is absolutely true. That's absolutely true.
I think we've beaten this to death.
Yeah.
We've gone 30 minutes past our deadline there.
I like guns and I like bunnies.
Yeah.
And ducklings.
And bunnies everywhere.
And
here,
babies.
By the way.
Yeah.
And we're all a bunch of fucking racists.
If you want to get bunnies, Pat's weird. Just come visit.
Jay, my town is so lousy with bunnies.
Yeah, you do.
Oh, God, it's awful.
I keep looking, thinking to myself, boy, I could use some Hasenpfeffer.
What?
Yeah. But the other day I was along my foundation, there was some grass growing out of it, and I finally just got sick of looking at it, so I ripped it up and I just threw it into my back lawn.
Uh-oh.
And the bunny happened to find that pile of dried up grass was the most delectable. He was sitting right in the middle of it, eating every single one of them.
Aww.
I'm like, you're so good. You're cleaning up my lawn.
That is good. I have lizards here.
Yeah, well, we don't have lizards in Massachusetts because we have this thing called cold.
I mowed the lawn last week, and the lizards were jumping out of the way of the mower.
better that than getting sprayed out in chunks.
Yeah, well, it's a real mower, so they would have been sliced.
Ew.
Cuisinart.
Yeah.
We don't have any bunnies in our backyard because we have a hawk that hangs out in our tree.
Nice.
No, I'm seriously. Yep. There's this hawk that hangs out in our backyard.
Well, we've had hawks come through, and the rabbit population in my town is definitely heavily fluctuating.
Yes, it.
Oddly enough, the goddamn fucking fox that keeps waking us up in the middle of the night has not done a whole lot to our bunny population.
Yeah,
that's surprising.
We have coyotes.
I got woken up by the fox, and I'm hearing it, and I'm going, Jesus Christ, that sounds loud. You know why it sounded so fucking loud? Because the thing was standing on top of my neighbor's car, yowling into the night.
You sure it wasn't a goat? They do that.
Oh, no. I opened up the window, and there's a fox standing up. They don't look like goats. And goats do not sound like fucking foxes. Yeah. Holy shit. Nothing sounds like fucking foxes.
I want to take a moment and for the last word here. Charles Barkley.
What?
Charles Barkley.
Mailman.
Announced today that he agrees with the Zimmerman verdict, and there's a bunch of racist black people out there.
Yeah. Well, Barkley's marginally conservative, isn't he?
Yes.
Well, and Barkley's going to soon find out what Bill Cosby did, what happened when you dare speak against the black narrative.
I know. That's funny. All right.
I think we're done.
I'm not going to be on next week.
Oh, that's right.
Because I'm going to be transported to medieval times at Penzic.
The way they should have been.
There is, yes, with running water. And
bug spray.
And bug spray. And so, you know what? If anybody wants to be like the stand-in co-host, because I won't be here next week, call, you know, talk to Alan. He will have like a contest.
And send nude pictures to all of us.
And the loser gets stuck being the co-host.
Ugh.
Alan at snarkybites.com. If you want to be the co-host next week, talk to Alan. I'll be camping. And probably drunk.
And naked?
Maybe naked.
Oh, I'm going to picture you naked.
Okay.
BritaPensickCam.com.
I am not naked at Pensick.
Oh, too late, Brita.
All right. Yeah. Well,
I've already started fapping to it.
Oh, God. Good night, right. Everybody.
Good night, everyone.
It can't be unfapped.
And we're done.